Hannah Kent, author Hannah Kent. She burst onto the international literary scene with her very first novel, Burial Rites. And the novel was sold all around the world after being developed during a mentorship with Geraldine Brooks. Burial Rites tells the story of Agnes Magnusdóttir, the last woman to be killed by capital punishment in Iceland, and you've probably read it, or you know several people who have read it already. And on today's masterpiece, Hannah takes us inside a work that helped her to write the book. What did you choose as your masterpiece?
I've chosen for my masterpiece a second album by Sigur Rós called Augeitisbyrjun.
Now, I wanted you to tell us to begin with how you came to the music of Sigur Rós.
I think I'd heard about Sigur Rós probably when I was in my last year of high school, but it wasn't actually until I was living in Iceland as an exchange student that I first heard the album through one of my Icelandic friends there. She was a great girl. In fact, I'm still friends with her. We became friends quite quickly on the basis of music. I would go round to her house after school and we'd eat fish fingers or ice cream and listen to Pink Floyd. And one day she said, "Have you heard of Sigur Rós?" And she put on this album, Augeitisbyrjun, and that was really the start of what has been now a really long-term love affair with their music.
So Sigur Rós are an Icelandic band. What kind of reputation, I guess, do they have within their homeland?
Oh, they're huge. I mean, Sigur Rós were big in Iceland before they were big anywhere else. It was really this album, which was technically their second, Augeitisbyrjun, that got them some early fame in their home country. I think people were really struck by their originality. I think anyone who listens to Sigur Rós is struck by just how unusual their sound is. And they gathered a lot of home support, as lots of Icelandic bands tend to do. And then, of course, that carried them on into Europe and into the wider world.
Now, is there any way that you're able to describe their sound, perhaps, for someone who hasn't heard them before?
It's funny. I think one of the reasons why they appeal to me so much is that it's so difficult to describe their sound. Look, people call it post-rock, but I don't think that really does their music justice to label it with those sort of music theory labels or to try and slot it into a genre. To me, the music is epic, it's cinematic, it's ethereal. They do draw comparisons to bands like Pink Floyd, Radiohead, but to really understand what sort of sound they make, you really just have to sit down and put an album on.
Now, Augeitisbyrjun is a good beginning in English. It was the first time that you had any experience of this band. Is that why this is such a special album for you?
It is. I think because I was in Iceland at the time that I heard this music, I think that was another reason why it just had such a huge impact on me. I mean, lots of people talk about the way in which Sigur Rós's music seems to remind them of landscape. And this is something which in many ways has been fetishized over the last 10 years or so since they hit the scene. But it's true. To listen to Sigur Rós is to see the Icelandic landscape. It somehow they have captured the soul of that country in the sound that they make, whether it's through the sort of crazy reverb that they achieve through playing guitars with, you know, cello bow strings, or through the grittiness of putting in found noises, the outside world. But whatever it is they do, when you listen to this album, you see the snow and you see the mountains and you see the wide, unbroken sky. And for me, listening to this album and then going out into that very landscape, it was almost an overwhelming experience. It was a very emotionally intense experience. And it certainly, their music was something that helped me connect with that very strange land that I was living in. So I think that's probably one of the more initial or original reasons why I love this band. But the other reason is that listening to their music, I felt it's so painfully beautiful. I defy anyone to listen to it and remain untouched emotionally. You can't help but feel things and you don't even really know what you're feeling. And for me, this triggers a really sort of strong creative energy. And I started to listen to Sigur Rós when I was writing, to sort of tap into that emotional depth and that emotional intensity, and to sort of transport myself out of wherever it is that I was, you know, contemporary Melbourne, just the contemporary world, and enter in a completely other place to try and somehow absorb that emotional intensity from their music and put it into my work. And I guess that's probably the more enduring reason why I continue to listen to their music.
I'd love to go back to that in a moment, but first, if we could just pop back in time to when you discovered Sigur Rós and this album in particular, and you're a teenager and living far away from home in a completely foreign country. What was your life like then? What was going on for you?
When I first heard this album, I mentioned Maya, my friend who used to, you know, introduce me to them. She was my only friend at the time. This was sort of in the early wintry months of my stay there. And, you know, I was very lonely. I was a very sort of shy teenager anyway. Of course, that all changed during the rest of my exchange as I learnt the language. But this music somehow tapped into these complex, slightly melancholy feelings I was having at the time, I suppose. It appealed to that angsty side of my teenage self.
And was it something that made you've mentioned that you were able to connect with the country more as a result of listening to this music. Was it something that stayed with you, this album and this music, for the rest of your time in Iceland?
Yeah, and actually after I heard the album, my friend Maya made me a compilation CD of their music. But I think a week later, I walked the snowy slope down to the tiny little supermarket in this little fishing village in the north of Iceland and bought this album for myself. And then I would put it in my Discman, and I often just went for big long walks around this little place by the sea, up on the mountains, by the cemetery, and would listen to this music. And it was the most perfect soundtrack for my time there. I listened to it compulsively, even as the days warmed and then you had that, you know, extraordinary 24 hours of daylight. This album is very much my soundtrack to my time living in Iceland.
Was it an album that stayed with you over the 10 years between being in Iceland and actually writing your book, Burial Rites?
Yes, it's one of several. I mean, as the years passed, Sigur Rós released more albums, such as Tach, which is another favourite of mine. I have a Sigur Rós playlist at home, and often when I'm writing, I'll just run through all of their albums. I think there's six of them now, and I would have select songs from each of them that I would listen to evoke particular emotions, depending on what scenes I was writing. And certainly with this album, there's one or two songs which I will automatically put on if I'm trying to achieve something in my work, if I'm trying to, I don't know, render some kind of emotion into poetry, then I'll use these as a little bit of a shove, a bit of motivation.
So it's about more than the landscapes. It takes you into an emotional space as well.
It does. Previously to hearing this album, I had, of course, been moved by music before or compelled to write, but often that came from listening to lyrics and being moved and touched by the lyrics. When I heard this album, it was something completely different. I mean, that this album is mainly in Icelandic, so I couldn't even really understand the words. It was instead something that I couldn't quite control, that I didn't quite understand, and I think there's something really elemental about it. When music just moves us in ways that we're not even really sure how, it just gave me these very deep, intense emotions. It would often move me to tears. And so writing would come out of that response, maybe initially in an effort to try and articulate why I felt so strongly, about this music, why it moved me in such a deep way. And then after that, I would simply just use the immediate emotional response I had to this, irrespective of whether or not I understood why it was there, and then try and use that as a way to enter into my writing and my work.
You're on Weekend Arts, and my guest is Hannah Kent, the author of Burial Rites, and we're talking about her masterpiece, which is Algirtas Byrjon, A Good Beginning by Sigur Rós. Hannah, how much of a companion was this album to you as you were creating the life and death of Agnes Magnusdóttir, the lead character in Burial Rites?
It was there Pretty much since the character of Agnes was there, I used to listen to this album, particularly the songs. There's one called Vitravelti Lofsaura, which means in English, a good day for an airstrike. And I used to listen to this song over and over again on repeat until I was sort of, you know, not really listening to it. It was just there in the background, but it was giving me the exact kind of melancholy overtones that I needed to write her story. It was a way in which I could transport myself into this otherworldly time, into a historic time, out of Australia, into Iceland. And of course, the music reminding me, as it does, of the Icelandic landscape whenever I had to write about the mountains, write about the valleys, write about the extraordinary natural world that Iceland has, I would put this music on because it would take me back there in an instant. Much in the same way that certain smells can take you back years and years and years in a heartbeat, so does this music take me back to Iceland.
Do you continue to be inspired by this music as you move on in your post-burial rites writing career?
I do. Probably not to quite the same extent, because for me it has such a connection with that country, and my next book's actually going to be set in Ireland, so I'm trying to find, you know, an Irish cigaros that I can use. But certainly it helps me, as I said, it helps me leave behind whatever it is that I've been doing that morning, any petty domestic concerns I might have, and enter into a creative realm.
Now, this music is going to be difficult for some people to access. What would you like people to listen for within this music if it's the first time that they're approaching it after listening to you talking about it today?
I would say to be patient. I think this is, I mean, most of their songs, particularly on this album, are very long. They're maybe, you know, 5-6 minutes. And to appreciate it, you really just need to sit still and listen to it. You know, don't put it on in the background while you're doing other things. Just try and sit down, close your eyes, don't even concentrate too much on the music, but just let yourself be carried away by it. And I think this is the way most lovers of Sigur Rós listen to their music, that you don't necessarily put it on to be entertained or to sing along to, but you just put it on just to be with and just to be moved by it in ways that you can't necessarily control. It sounds rather mystical, I'm very aware of that, but this is, people have almost religious experiences, I think, with Sigur Rós. If you just sit with it and you just listen to it and concentrate utterly on the music and the way that you're responding to it, I think you might come to understand why.
Hannah Kent, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Author Hannah Kent there talking about the album by Sigur Rós, Algirtas Brian. If you would like to, or you know, listen to that album, that's what it's called, Algirtas Brian. And you can find out all the information on our website, abc.net.au/rn. Go to the Weekend Arts page, where you'll find the information about that album and also more information about Hannah and her book, Burial Rites.